96 Real Sports, sponsored by Heritage Automotive. Every Monday night from 6 to 7 p.m., here is Sports Director Johnny McCrory with the start of this week's show.
Good evening. High school basketball remains a focus of Monday night, brought to you by Heritage Automotive on Giant FM Sports. And we take the show on the road into Morristown, where the Yellow Jackets will play for their first ever boys basketball state championship this weekend at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We are going to be joined by a ton of guests and taking a little bit of a different direction on the show tonight. We'll get you more on that coming up here shortly. But first, my broadcast partner, Jason Parker, with me. We got to spend part of the morning up at Media Day at Bankers Life and learning a little bit more about the opponent out of the north, a 25-3 third-ranked Southwood team that maybe a bit of a surprise that they are here. They knocked off number one. It sets up for a very, very fun Saturday.
Well, to knock off Blackhawk, they really had to change the way they like to play. Usually a team that gets up and down, averaged 77 points per game, and they had to really change the tempo of that game and get it to where they're not having to outscore Blackhawk, and they kept it in the 50s and were able to knock off the number one team in Class A. So a good win for Southwood. And that'll pit them against these guys here in front of us. So both teams averaging around 75, 76 points a game. So a little bit of a different setup maybe for this game than Bar Reeve.
Let's take a look at Southwood in depth with their head coach. John Burris is in his 11th season there, 18th season overall, 7 years at North Miami before he took over at Southwood. And this is a program that's really been on a roll. They were sectional champs a year ago. They did it at 2A, and they knocked off Oak Hill, who, by the way, is back in the 2A championship this year. So they become accustomed to winning under John Burris.
Well, enrollment is down up there, starting to decline, so that's what has brought them back to 1A. And you mentioned they knocked off Oak Hill. They played Oak Hill again this year back in January and lost 76-71 in overtime. So a team that's played a few bigger schools and have competed pretty well. But we were talking off air a schedule that really is similar to Morristown's as far as strength and opponents' records, and each team has played some really good teams along the way and played very well.
Let's hear from the head coach up at Southwood, John.
Start Burrow. With forward Matt Nose. He's our kid that plays in the middle of our defense. We exclusively run the 2-3 zone. Some people think I'm a little bit like Jim Boeheim from Syracuse. We don't run it to that level, but you know, we work hard at it. And Basil Malby is a guy that used to be in my area. I learned some things from him. And but Matt Nose anchors our defense. He had 4 blocks against Fort Wayne Blackhawk, which I thought was pretty good with their size. And he averages about 13 a game, but really anchors the middle of our defense. And then our other forward is Dallas Holmes. He's 6'4", plays bigger than that. He's very long, athletic, blocks shots, probably our best rebounder, offensive and defensive. Tremendous three-point shooter. He can really get going. He had a big three to give us a two-point lead. We were down one with over a minute to go against Blackhawk. He hit a three out of a timeout, and that was big. So Dallas has been there for us all year. He's closing in on 500 points this year. Then you go to the other guard. We have 3 guards. We go with Peyton Trexler. He's our point guard. He's our leading scorer and our point guard, which is unique. It's also an all-state wide receiver, which you see long passes. You'll see our guys throw him a lot of long passes. It's just him out there playing football, and then he can't fumble it. He's got to dribble it. So, but he does a great job for us out front. He's a great leader. He's well over, I think he's over 100 steals now, well over 100 assists. So I think that shows he's 19 points a game. And then Ethan Roberts is our defensive guy. He's a guard. He's one of those guys that gets overlooked a lot because of all the scores, but he can hit threes, but he is tremendous on defense. He can run people down from behind. He's got steal after steal from the backside, running guys down. And then the guy that everybody tries to stop on our team is Carson Blair. He's an all-state kid. all-everything. He's a guy that can score. You're going to look at him shooting and go, he cannot shoot from there, and he will shoot very comfortably from 30 feet. And he's a great leader. He's taken a back seat with his scoring to make us better. He could probably average 30 a game, but he's averaged 18 a game, and he's had games over 30. He's pushed 40 points. But this team's better with him just, you know, dishing out the ball. And Carson is just a guy that he is determined to win. That's what he's all about. He's a winner, and I think that's really rubbed off on this whole group as, you know, because of his leadership.
So there's your quick intro to the opponent, Southwood, the Knights, with 25 wins, ranked in the top five, and like we said, a potent offensive team.
Yeah, a potent offensive team, an experienced team, four seniors in the starting lineup, one junior, three 1,000-point scorers currently, and that junior, Dallas Holmes, 6'4", he will become a 1,000-point scorer very soon. He's averaged 17 this year, so an experienced group, not a big group, but a couple 6'4 guys. And a team that likes to zone a lot, 2-3 zone, different looks in a zone matchup, and they're anchored in the middle with that defense by Matthew Nose. Coach was talking about him. He's that defensive anchor, and he's one of those 1,000-point scorers that I mentioned.
The Morristown players, they're in the building with us. We're in Jason Parker's American Family Insurance office here in Morristown, and we bring them up a few at a time, and then their moms are here to tell us the truth about all of them on the second half of the show. Let's get started with Logan Theobald here as we open up things on Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive. All right, you're back into the calm. It's Monday, going back to work atmosphere. Now give me the look back at the win on Saturday.
Well, it was I was really nerve-wracking coming out to 8,100 people. But it was a really cool experience coming out there, playing in front of that many people and being able to take home another win.
Logan, you've been able to pick and choose your spots, and I thought the basket that you made to put the team up 51-50 on Saturday was a huge basket. Tell me about how you kind of run the team from that point guard spot with Logan here, but how do you pick and choose and when it's the right opportunity for you?
I just try and do what I can for my team. In moments like that when I need to, you know, when the team needs to get going, something big needs to happen, so I try and step up and make a big play to get everybody, you know, excited again. So just you can kind of tell when all of us kind of get down a little bit when the other team rattles off, you know, 6 points in a row and, you know, we've missed about two or three shots. And then, so, you know, I just try to do what I can and put us back up where we need to be.
The head coach up at Southwood, he talked about that very thing, and obviously everybody's kind of early in their scouting reports, but he said, the thing I notice about Morristown is when they're maybe in their worst point is when they're most dangerous and they go on a run, and you did it falling down by 8 against Bar Reeve. It was a pretty quick recovery after the timeout. To catch a Bar Reeve team, too, I know this for this roster, it was kind of a young bunch, but this school's used to being at this level. You gave them their first semi-state loss in their history, which is something.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Coach even said that we made them 5-1 with being semi-state champs, so that's pretty cool. They're a good team, though. It was tough, but we came out there and did our business, did what we were supposed to do.
Logan, I think since county tournament, maybe earlier, but when I started noticing your confidence start to pick up, and I feel like you felt like you belonged out there with that starting five, and you really started to play at a higher level. Tell me what clicked or what was the difference there when you really felt like your confidence was growing?
Well, I think it all started with this summer, too, and all the tournaments we played in. I got comfortable with playing with these guys a lot, and then, you know, the first couple of games, just trying to get the feel of playing with all of them, and then, you know, around county time, I thought it was kind of the perfect time to start coming out and, you know, trying to show what I can do for
be a little bit more aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'll leave you with this note. Apparently, when we've learned tonight that when Eli's having a little trouble shooting, if you deliver him a pass, things loosen up.
I mean, yeah. I think I might have good passes.
So we should credit all of Strievel's makes to you from now on.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask Eli, he'll tell you the same thing.
We'll remember that.
Oh, we will. We will.
Yeah.
Logan, thank you. Good luck this Saturday.
Thank you.
Logan Laster joins us. Morristown Yellow Jackets with us here tonight on the Monday leading up to state championship Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. From a gym that seats 8,100, and every one of those seats and more were taken, bigger facility and all the fun stuff that comes with it, have you thought about Saturday, the coming Saturday, yet?
No, I can't imagine how crazy it'll be. You know, playing at Semi State at Seymour was a, it was a dream come true to play in a packed gym like that, and especially to win, it was something special for us.
You guys not only had to overcome a deficit, we kind of touched on that in the second half. Foul trouble started to be a concern, and I haven't talked about that with this team all that often, but we were wondering, would everybody still be on the floor at the end of regulation?
Yeah, guys stepped up, Kyle came off the bench and kept his composure and was poised and played like he's been doing all year, and we just stayed poised and we battled back.
How much of a look at the gym at Seymour did you guys get before you took the floor? I know you were out there a couple times in the corners, but did you get a look at it filling up before you took the floor?
Yeah, we walked out and we saw people filling it. But when we had practice there, I think all our jaws were at the ground. We were looking at the gym and stuff and looking around how big it really was.
Logan, what's been the best part of this journey since you guys really started it with that county tourney win and now this amazing run into the postseason? What's been the best part for you?
Have we come together and we just keep finding ways to win, and seeing Coach Mack always happy after games and going crazy in the locker room. Yeah, it's been fun. It really has.
Will there be stories about Coach Mack that we hear 20 years from now that we will not hear tonight?
Definitely. There will definitely be stories.
You're taking outside shots and making threes. Guys are in that zone of Bar Reeves, kind of standing there waiting for you to come to them, and you made a three from the top of the key. You had to think about it a while, but you took it. Talk about the three-pointer especially that night.
I don't know. I was open, so I shot it, and I made it. And then they started respecting me out there, so it was easier to get around them. So I think if I can develop an even better three-point shot, it's easier to be to get to the rim.
You guys have seen a fair amount of zone throughout the postseason, and by Southwood's own design, looks like you're going to see a 2-3 or some form of zone again this week. So you guys have been real comfortable against it.
Yeah. I don't think there's very many teams that can guard us, man, with the ability we can drive and shooters outside. So the only way to really stop us is to go zone.
Stay healthy. Enjoy the week. We'll see you Saturday at Bankers Live.
Yep. Thank you.
Trevon Carlton joins us, Giant FM Sports, as we work our way through the Yellow Jackets and then the Moms. We're coming up here in just a little bit on this Monday night show, and we get an opportunity to spend some time with not only the youngest member of the starting lineup, but a guy who has the highest arcing reversed layup going this year, and that's Trevon Carlton. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell me about the reverse layup, especially this Saturday, and I've seen it a few times. Your body's directly into the basket. I think you wanted to go right side, but you turned left and flicked it in. Tell me about the reverse layup.
Yeah, I seen Logan driving, and I just basically thought, okay, I need to get ready for the pass. And then when he passed it to me, I thought I was on the right side, and it turns out I was underneath the basket. So I thought, oh, crap, change of plans, got to go with the reverse, and I did. And luckily I made it.
Trevon, we talked right after the game, after you got your piece of net, that you mentioned the fans and how you guys have wanted to do this and keep this ride going for the fans. What was it like to come out of that locker room and go through your warm-ups and see the sea of Morristown fans up there?
Yeah, it was just amazing. When we were standing out there before we ran out, I was just like, oh my gosh, the whole community is here. And we just wanted to play for them and stuff.
There is probably nothing better than sports, and we're on a sports show, I guess, but that can bring an entire town like this together you guys are the centerpiece for that. That's a very cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to, as well, maybe get the attention of an entire gym. And I don't know if there's any way you guys can even have noticed this, but as all the New Albany and Warren Central people are sitting there, and even Brian Hughes, the coach at Bar Reeve, he joked, he goes, look, I know we're the JV game for what's coming up. And he was joking because he said it's the best JV game I've ever coached. But he said, people are going to find out this is a good basketball game too. And I don't know if you guys could realize it or not, but I think the entire gym started to get caught up in your game, even mm-hmm. though they didn't know one thing about Morristown and Bar Reeve. Did you get the energy from the rest of the gym too at all?
Yeah, I feel like everybody started paying attention when Hayden dunked on number 32. I don't think anybody was expecting the white boy to jump and just completely slam it on him.
Absolutely, you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
The win, and now you get to go to Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Have you even started in on Southwood? I think Monday is typically shoot-around for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, today we just shot around and just basically, like, go on, like, what we're going to do in the week and stuff. Talk about, like, when we're practicing, like, when we're what we're doing, like, preparing and stuff.
Yeah, I know Coach has talked about keeping everything as normal as it can, and probably in practice it's been kind of run-of-the-mill, but is it run-of-the-mill being in town or being in school during the average day? Have things felt different around you?
I mean, yeah, it's been different, especially today. Just everybody's been, like, talking about, wow, you guys beat Barif at semi-state, and now you're going to Bankers Life, and it's just been crazy today.
It's going to be fun. Trevon, thank
yeah.
you very much.
Yeah,
appreciate
you.
It. Eli Strievel joins us. Morristown Yellow Jackets with us here on Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive. Okay, you can now talk about Theobald's passing ability if you want. You have 9 seconds. I'm not sure it deserves more than that, but go ahead.
I think he throws better passes than Hayden and Chewy combined.
A little bit. 2 threes in the first half, but then the points that came in the fourth quarter helped to carry things along.
Yeah. It started against Shelbyville. I just landed on my wrist wrong. Mm. And against Waldron in the sectional, I re-aggravated it. And I guess I'm not, like, using it as an excuse, but, like, it just doesn't feel right, I guess. And I guess the more I see him go down, the more I might hit. But it's just a work in progress right now, I guess.
Eli, I've asked this to some other guys, but what has been the most special thing to you about the last month or so, or the last couple of weeks?
The whole entire town. Like, I'm pretty sure 98% of the entire town of Morristown was at Seymour.
You've had a lot of the county following you guys, too. I've seen kids from Triton, Shelbyville, Waldron, Southwestern. You've got the eyes of everybody.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, because I still live over in Fairland, and I know a lot of people are asking my parents, hey, can we get tickets? When can we get tickets? And I'm just like, don't ask me. Like, I'm not worrying about it.
Yeah.
But I guess it's pretty crazy to see the whole county come together just for one team.
Have you guys, as eighth graders, have you ever gotten to play at Bankers Life? I know they used to have junior high type games there. Have any of you guys gotten to play there?
You guys had an Oldenburg game you were supposed to play a couple seasons ago.
The closest we've gotten to Bankers Life was at Purdue, and that was just over the summer. It was just a summer league game, but not at Bankers Life.
You have beaten number 8. Number 2, number 6, and by the way, they were the defending champs, and number 5. You're not just going to Bankers Life. Talk about a great postseason run.
Yeah, I guess we're looking at it as do or die, and that's what it is. And I guess we're just riding with a chip on our shoulder, the whole county behind us. And, like, Coach has a red ring, and he doesn't want another red one. We want a blue one. And I guess that's why we're doing it.
You mentioned the ring, and we talked with him briefly about that earlier today. He had it out preseason, if I understand. Is that the only time that kind of championship was mentioned? Or when's the last time you remember a championship of this type being mentioned?
Like in Morristown?
Yeah, well, I mean, for this team, was it ever a part of the conversation? He's talked so much about one game at a time.
I think the last 3 years I've been here, it's the first year was, I think, our most realistic goal, I guess, was to win county.
Okay.
And then sectionals came around. We obviously wanted to win it, and we got to the second round, I think. But then I think the last 3 years it's been a sectional. And then we won the sectional, and now we're at the regional, and now we won semi-state. Let's go all the way.
Do you think, you know, the Hauser game was obviously the marquee game that everybody was looking forward to all the way down the stretch of the season. Do you guys feel that by getting over that hump, it kind of took some pressure off and made you guys play a little bit more relaxed?
I don't know if it took pressure off or, like, added confidence. Mm-hmm. Hauser's a good team. I'm not taking anything away from them, but I think being able to keep up with Gross on the inside, because we're not a large team, obviously, and I guess being able to tell ourselves and show ourselves that we can keep up with what is he, 6'9"?
Yeah.
Big kid in the post, and you got Sherman out on the perimeter, and I guess seeing...
Trevon's 6'2"? What do you mean you're not big?
That's my point. but I guess just seeing that we can play with those teams, they just boosted our confidence.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Get the microphone over to Hayden Langcable here. Morristown Yellow Jackets with us on the Monday ahead of their state finals appearance against Southwood coming up. It's the most talked about item individually from the game, the steal at half court. I don't know if the knockaway, though, it didn't lead you straight to the rim, so it may not have been as convenient as you would have liked. Talk about approaching the steal just before halftime and the dunk.
Well, Coach told me before the game, you know, he doesn't want me cheating, but I saw him, he started at the block and then went to the three-point line, and I saw the opportunity for the steal, so went, knocked it out, went a little sideways, had to go grab it, and then going down the floor, I put it in my mind, I was like, I'm dunking this in this type of environment. And I didn't realize he was that close behind me when I watched it again on the film. And then I just went up, and he jumped with me. And I don't know, the crowd went crazy. The gym went crazy, you know, almost shut it down.
You had Warren Central and New Albany's attention from that point on. I actually finally was able to see the replay of it today from the IHSAA TV broadcast, which was in the other corner from us, which was behind you. And I could tell that you saw that pass about 2 seconds before it happened, and you jumped it, and you, I could kind of get in your head, and you knew where that pass was going.
Right, right.
We talked on the air that we really felt Ainsco was trying to block a layup. I don't think he went up expecting that to happen in front of him.
Yeah, actually, we come out of halftime, we get on the floor early, getting ready for the second half, and the one ref came over to me and was like, nice dunk. I was not expecting that at all. I was just like, that just made me laugh right there.
The reality, momentum can swing so fast, though. And 2.6 seconds later, Ainsco hits a three, and you're back in a tie ball game.
Right.
It's amazing how things can swing.
Right. It was a fun game, you know, just going back and forth with them.
What was halftime like? What was the conversation like?
You know, we were just focusing on ourselves. We were hurting ourselves, you know, not getting the rebounding as well as we wanted to, and we just know if we could fix those things for the second half, then we'd be well set to win the game.
Eli gets a fourth, diving for a loose dribble that he had a beat on, but gets the foul. You get a fourth, tangled up, falling backwards. First time I think I've really dealt with you guys in significant foul trouble. Did it change the way you played defensively at all?
Coaches told us to play smart. And we're smart enough players not to go after a steal or try to get our fifth foul. You know, we know that it's more important for us to be on the floor than be sitting on the bench. So that's just what Coach told us.
What are you pointing at Eli for?
Well, I thought
he
his fourth foul was...
He didn't foul out.
Yeah, I made the comment, and I know Eli was hustling after that ball, but I made the comment that you've got to be 100% sure you're going to get that at that moment, and I know he knows that, but he's so important to the team that I was just praying that he wasn't going to pick up a cheap fifth foul. Sometimes when you give away an easy one like that, then you can pick up a cheap one later. So he stayed on the floor, though. Did a good job.
As you guys got to sit down and watch a little bit of game two before you departed for the day, did it add to the appreciation of what you had just played in front of? watching Warren Central and New Albany play in front of that rabid crowd?
I mean, Coach was joking with us after the game that the second game was the JV game, and we were the varsity game. So, No, we knew going out there that was going to be a crazy game with Romeo and undefeated Warren. And, just being able to play before that game, you know, that game's going to go down in history. Mm. And that was just fun to play before.
It's a good thing you guys got out of there because you were sitting right where the mob of Warren Central people came out of the stands, so you guys would have been stuck for a while.
Right, yeah. Coach Grimm was like, hey, should we leave after the third quarter, you know, just in case this game ends in controversy? And we were like, yeah, that's fine.
Kevin's so smart.
I know.
He's always looking ahead.
Yeah.
That's what I've always known about him.
Yeah, so he kind of called it, so.
Any concerns with our next guests who are coming up as we let you guys go?
No, not really. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of love.
And something else, I'm sure, before it's over. Hayden, thank you.
Thank you.
Take a break. Giant FM Sports. We've heard from the players. We will catch the coach coming up shortly. But somebody we haven't spent some time with on air, we're going to do it next. We're talking with the moms of this starting five coming up next on Giant FM.
When your hard water needs to be softened or your drinking water needs to be pure, trust someone that's been around for years. Someone local you can trust. Give Culligan Water Conditioning a call.
Hey, Culligan, man.
In Shelby County, call 317-392-2641.
Real Sports.
Giant FM Sports, Monday nights brought to you by Heritage Automotive. But tonight we come to you from Morristown. My broadcast partner, Jason Parker, his American Family Insurance Office, just a few feet from the Copper Kettle, just a few feet from the high school. If you're on US 52, you're just a few feet from everything here in Morristown. All right, you had an idea.
This was my idea, ladies, so you can be
mad
at me.
I wanted to put the blame or the success, whatever it may be, your way. You're going to go with introductions to get us started as we bring in the moms of the Yellow Jackets tonight.
That's right. Well, first of all, we're starting out here with Angie Theobald, and extra special for me because Angie and I graduated together from Morristown here, and it's doesn't seem like 21, 22 years ago, but it has been now. We've got Malia Rood, who is the mother of Trevon, and we've got Allie Krim down there, who has ties with the coaching staff, ties with Cameron Krim and Kyle Krim, so she's representing all three here tonight.
Thank you for coming, first of all. Where do we start?
Well, let's start with the emotions of, I think, this whole season. Expectations were high. Why don't you guys just talk first about how you felt coming into this season?
Well, so this season, I think, had a lot of high expectations. I know the boys had high expectations for themselves. So the parents probably fed off that a little bit, just trying to support them working so hard. Never in wildest dreams could we think that they would be playing for a state championship, though. I think our big expectation was to win sectionals. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, after that Hauser game, I think all of us kind of looked at each other and thought, I think we can do this. I think we can go pretty far, get through this. But still, playing for a state championship was never one of those wildest dreams.
All right. Angie?
I'm lost for words. I think it's surreal to have the bond that these players have, and you could see it. You just wasn't sure when it would all be put together. Last year, watching them play, you just knew something could possibly happen. But it's just, it's amazing. It's a fun group of boys, parents, and just the community with everybody. And I really didn't know what the boys really, I knew that they could believe in themselves, but to put it all together and really come out and you're semi-state champs, like that just sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of them.
Let me take you back to Martinsville and the semifinal game there against University. Hayden hits his scoop shot to go up two. There's still time on the clock. There's a timeout. What were your emotions, if you can recall, waiting for that last possession and then a three-pointer in the air to maybe end the season?
Oh, I thought my heart was going to drop out. I mean, like, it was just grabbing people, like, sitting beside me and just grabbing people's, you know, it was just so intense, and you just wanted it so much for them because they worked mm-hmm. so hard and so together. And it was, when they did it, I mean, I just, wow, it was amazing. I just couldn't believe it. So,
Malia, same question. Take me through your feelings during the end of that university game.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was actually sitting next to one of the rails, and I believe I jumped on the rail like a sloth and closed my eyes because I was, I was so nervous, and I just did not want that ball to go in the basket. So I was afraid Chad Williams might have had a picture of me doing that, but thankfully he didn't.
He had a nice picture of you down on the floor Saturday.
Yes, thank you.
Taking a deep breath, it looked like.
Yes.
So we knock off university. The boys knock off. We didn't contribute to that. But that happens, and then we wait around all day down there in Martinsville. What were your thoughts with Tinley? Obviously, they're the state champs. What realistically was your outlook going into that game?
I was just really happy we got there, and I felt like that win or lose, we were all so proud of the boys, and we were just all grateful to be there, and no matter what happened, you know, we were going to be, you know, just as good as we were. So.
And then they pulled off a magical
night.
Yes,
it was just, yeah, that everybody will remember that game.
That's right. Well, hand the mic back to Allie there. Mrs. Krim.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you talk a little bit about having a coach on the staff and two boys and just the emotions that have come just in the last couple of weeks with that?
I think going back to that university and Tinley game, of course, probably most people know that Sonia and I really coach this team. We send all of our best advice through Kevin and Scott, mm-hmm. and they let
relay it to the boys.
Absolutely. So Sonia and I were very happy to get Tinley. We thought we matched up with them pretty well, mm-hmm. a little bit better than Bloomfield.
Bloomfield.
Yeah. So having a coach, Kevin's coached for a long time, so I feel like pretty seasoned at this. He and I are. We love all of these kids and have loved all these kids all the way through as our own. But this is really the first year we've had our own kids mm-hmm. on this team. So it's been different to watch the bond and the way Cameron and Kyle have supported each other. It's not easy for your freshman brother to kind of step in and take a sixth man role,
right.
you know, as a junior. And Cameron has been amazing. Mm-hmm. If you ever get to meet that kid, you will love him. Anybody that's ever met him, he's the most humble, gracious kid. And our family's very blessed and lucky to have him in this position because not many people could have handled that.
Right.
Then to see Kyle step out there on semi-state when Hayden got his second foul, I thought, I'm going to pass out. now I'm going to pass out. So I was nervous. I was nervous for him. But to see your kids do things that you didn't think they could do is really an amazing thing. And then to see them hug their dad after that, knowing that all the time all of us have put into it, it's just a really good, heartfelt, great feeling. So this season has been great for everybody. It's been really special at our house.
Right. Has it altered life at all this
no.
month of the postseason run?
Basketball is basketball and home is home. Mm-hmm. So they come home. We don't, and I think that's probably the most with everybody here. They don't talk about like basketball at home as much. Maybe not everybody. but when they get home, if the boys want to talk about it, Kevin will talk to them. Otherwise, they sit down and watch The Office or mm-hmm. do something else that's not related to sports. Like, it's a break. That hasn't changed at all this month. I mean, it's been a little crazy trying to figure out what night we're doing the next spaghetti dinner because that's what
we're doing. Ready to host another one?
I am. I'm ready. I told them they keep winning, I'll keep hosting. So, but it's been fun, and we're all just really enjoying it.
I want to ask the demeanors of this team. I think we look at Trevon and we think maybe he's the quietest one. He looks that way from a distance. But for the most part, it seems like it's a reserve team on the court. The emotions never seem to go too much one way or the other. Are they that way at home? Is the basketball demeanor that we perceive, is that the kid that you know at home?
Logan's a fun kid. Like, he is, he can be serious if he needs to be, and he can be a lot of fun. He can make light of conversation, or if you're having a bad day, he can make you laugh. He's on the basketball court, and he knows what he needs to do. And when he's at home, he constantly needs to be doing something. He's a workhorse. I think it's balanced, but he doesn't maybe show everything out on the court that he does at home. Okay. So he doesn't do anything bad at home. He just has a funny personality that maybe not everybody always gets to see. So.
Well, his dad's a funny guy.
Well, yeah.
Malia, how about Trevon?
Yeah, what you see is, for the most part, how he is. He's always been very quiet and just does whatever you need him to do. He is very funny, which a lot of people don't get to see unless he's in the right mood. But most of the time, you don't get a lot of information out of him. A lot of time, it's good. Everything's good. But he can give you more information.
I saw him driving down the highway the other day. Is he licensed?
Yes.
You ask that live on the air?
Well, he's a sophomore.
Yes, he is.
That's good. I figured. Yes.
As you get ready for headed up to Indy, Bankers Life, for this Saturday's game, does the approach change at home at all? I know I asked, has the life been altered? Has things been changed? Does anything change in the way you deal with or talk to these guys, or is it just the same approach it's always been?
For us, it's always just the same. I'm really the only one that tells him he has to do something and work hard and be aggressive, and he does what he does. But my dad's the one who really gives him a lot of information, and he always scouts all the teams, and it has just been nonstop basketball for my dad since before the Shelbyville game. So he gets all the information he needs from my dad.
Good deal. Same approach with these guys?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Yeah. I mean, I think Logan gets a lot of information from different people, just trying to push him, making him believe in himself. But all in all, I think it's the same, and we're ready to go. I mean, it's just next up, let's go. So.
You already answered that question, really. Basketball's basketball, and life continues.
Yes, it does. It is life outside of basketball. You know, this is one thing that Kevin has always told our boys and a lot of these kids is this is a game. Let's have fun. You know, it's something we're always going to remember forever, but enjoy it because it can be over now, any day. So, just enjoy it. It's a game.
Ladies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Quick break here on Giant FM Sports. More to come here with the Morristown Yellow Jackets on
Real Sports.
Monday Night Edition, Giant FM Sports, brought to you by Heritage Automotive. We are in Morristown this Monday, leading into state championship Saturday. Number 4, Morristown. Number 3, Southwood will be the opening game at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Our coverage begins at 9:30. The tip, to be official, is at 10:37 a.m. time coming up on Saturday. We have gone to the families here tonight, Jason Parker. Introductions of our next guest.
Well, we've gone to the moms to seek the truth. So we've got Lori Strievel here, mother of Eli. We've got Brooke Batten, mother of Eli, or Chewy, Logan, Laster, and Christy Langcable, obviously mother of Hayden. So thanks for being here with us, guys. Let's start with Lori here right next to me. I've done a lot of interviews in the last 7 years, and these last couple weeks have really meant a lot to me to be down on the floor and to interview these guys right after they've won. But with Eli after the regional, when I was able to grab him, and I don't know that I've ever seen him so happy and just excited. Have you seen that in him the last couple weeks too?
Eli's kind of different at home.
Yeah.
Than he is what you see on the court. There's a lot of similarities. He is very even keel all the time. But when he is not just even keel, he is funny. He is loud. He is crazy. He is the person that you're saying, Eli, please shut up for just a little.
Right.
But you don't really see that on the court. On the court, all you do see is completely even keeled. That is not... That's out of character for him. So that was really exciting.
That's
his
basketball
character,
yeah.
Yes, we got a lot of pictures of that. And so we'll be pulling those out at open house, I'm sure.
I've taken some of the moms back to that regional. Let me take you back to the sectional and that Hauser game. Leading up to that game, what were your emotions?
I just wanted a little more. Mm-hmm. We weren't ready to be done. Mm-hmm. It's a little different, I think, maybe for our senior moms.
Yeah.
And I thought this time would be easier with him because we've been there and we've done that, and it's actually way harder because you know what over means. So I wasn't really ready yet, but I personally have felt like these guys could go to state since I've watched them play back in the day with Doc Pringle. I mean, there's just something special about these guys. So for them not to go this far, me and Chad argue about this a lot. I said it would have been a disappointment. He said it wouldn't have been, but I said they're that good. It'd be disappointing.
So then that game, Hauser, let me stay there for a minute. Coach, was it a 16-point lead or 19 that got down to three?
Anyway, it was a big lead.
It was a big lead that got down to three. Were you in complete panic mode in the stands?
I've been in panic mode since we said, you know, sectionals are coming up. So every shot is panic. Every foul is panic. Every move is panic. It's you just don't want it to be over.
What are your thoughts leading into this next week's game?
I feel good. Even if we don't win, which I feel pretty good about winning now, maybe. Even if we don't win, I think we've gone down swinging and they have done above and beyond what's been asked of them. So I feel good.
Should we ask about the skit now? We probably should have done that the first round and we let it slip by. If I understand correctly, and I've seen pictures, but I've not seen video, there was a skit where you were them. Is that right?
Yeah, we decided, Kelly Kuhn called us up and asked if we wanted to reenact the boys. And I think walking into it, we all knew exactly what we were going to do as we reenacted them.
Well, give me a replay as best you can. Paint the picture for me. What went on in this? Was it a simulated game at that point?
Well, I think they acted as we were the regional game is what we were reenacting.
Okay.
So my role, being Logan Laster's mom, was to do an and-one, and we all know how excited he gets when he gets an and-one. So I had to make my arms look big and make a rawr noise.
Like a fist pump?
Yeah. But it is nice to see him get excited because I don't feel like he shows a lot of emotion at times on the court. But when he does get an and-one, he gets really excited about it. Lori, Eli's mom, was camping out at the three-point line with her tent and firewood and
her
camping
wrist
chair,
tapes.
With her wrist taped, and came in to do a dunk, which she was supposed to miss it, but she made it. And Coach Mack's wife, Sonia, was on the sideline and was going to be screaming, "Get the points."
Because somebody's missed a dunk before.
And I even, we'll get to Christy Lancable here next, but I think that there was somebody in the stands who was imitating you. Is that right?
Correct. Brooklyn was me. She was screaming and cheering as loud as she could, waving the yellow towel. So, in fact,
was she wearing something too?
She was wearing my vest. And the funny thing is there was mom saying, "Well, is that Christy? Because I thought she's down in the fans." Like, they really thought that was me down there. She did such a good job imitating me, which I think is
cool. And what was your imitation of Hayden?
My imitation was to do a weave. That was the name of the play, the weave. So I went up top and I practiced at home
all night long and tried to spin the ball the best that I could on my finger and then go around my back a couple times, through my legs, you know, a couple turns. I didn't do this dribbling because I knew I couldn't do it.
Then you didn't
I
want to show off.
I just went around every girl, like, weaving in and out of everybody, you know. So I thought it was pretty funny. Turned in a few times and tried to make the basket. So it was fun.
It looked fun on Facebook.
Oh, I
didn't get to make it there that day, but I watched it. It was fun.
We had a great time.
While we're on that kind of theme, though, when he makes – there were probably two different times in the semi-state game around half court, he went behind the back in traffic. Did he know he was going to get through that, or did he just make that up as he went?
He practices that over and over, and I think he knows. He feels really confident with that ball, and he just puts it behind his back. And in fact, the greatest thing is that when I was in the stands and he did it, all the people around me said, "Hey, that's a Christie move." That was pretty good.
Christie, we'll stick with you since you have the mic. Talk about what this year has meant. You know, obviously, Dylan has. You've already experienced that, and then there was a few years to kind of get ready for what getting Hayden up to varsity. What has this year meant? Him as a senior and all the accomplishments that he's been able to get.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed all the basketball, and I think the greatest part about what we have right now is the joy. For all, it's been joy for the boys, the moms, the dads, the coaches, the radio, the photographers, and the newspapers, and the fans, the trainers, the managers. I mean, there's just the behind the scenes that people don't even know and don't even see. So the joy is just watching them embracing after the games and the tear of joys and. Mm-hmm. It is something that we all say we can't believe, but looking back, I say we do believe because we know that they're special. They're boys. My mom calls them the Men of Steel, and they brought a lot of joy to themselves and the laughter that they give to one another, the jokes that we don't know about, we don't want to know about. But, you know, it's, like you said, they look different on the floor, but at home they are our boys, and they're all special and unique in each and in their own ways.
Let me take you back to Tinley and just that unbelievable individual performance. Everybody played well as a team, but Hayden, with that unbelievable performance, what was going through your mind just sitting there as a mom?
Of course, you know, you want to win. You want that for everyone. I just think that the watching these boys and watching my son go out there, I think the coolest thing from what I enjoy is when I go back and rewatch it, because when I watched the Tinley game and went back and looked at the pictures, I was in awe of the looking at the pitchers versus the Tinley boys, the strength, their muscles, their size, their weight versus our boys, and thinking, we just accomplished and knocked them right off their game. Mm-hmm. And I was just, it's something so neat and unbelievable, but yet believable. So I'm proud of them.
Yeah.
Wanted to have you talk a little bit more about Logan, if you would, and we were joking with him about taking perimeter jump shots, and I'm going back to the Hauser game. It's happened in games since, but I think so much even about the Hauser game, the left-handed finishes by him over Gross against Hauser, I'm amazed by some of the shots he's gotten off. What have you seen as a mom of him developing as a basketball player?
Well, with the left hand, my dad for the last 2 years has gave him a lot because he doesn't go to his left side. And I think if you watch games, a lot of players are stopping him from going to his right side. So he's really had to learn to start being stronger on his left side. And I think he's doing a really great job this year with it.
The growth of this team, and I'm trying to think how I want to say this. We realized how good this team was going to be, to the point that even as we were looking at a broadcast schedule and we realized we were going to be covering games in Richmond and we saw Tinley was there. So we thought, we're not doing that game, but we've got to make sure we're in the gym to see Tinley play because we want to know how that relates to down the road. What were you all thinking about this team as November came around and tip-off finally came? We knew they'd be good, but like I talked about with Coach Mack, I said, I don't know if you ever think about 20-2 good, you know, when we were talking about it early in the postseason. It's just been a magical year.
Yeah, it has, and I think going into Tinley, I was really nervous. I guess it's kind of an intimidating team, and hearing the big hype about Tinley, but then my uncle said, he goes, you guys are good, and everybody is talking about you guys, and it kind of was like, you're right, you know, it is. You just, with being a mom, you don't hear the outside counties talking about us as much, you know, like we hear Tinley being so strong, and then these people are talking about Morristown being so strong, so you just don't. It was not, I mean, knocking Tinley off was amazing.
I wondered too, though, and I'll ask you, is I think that we as broadcasters sometimes do it too, where the grass can be greener elsewhere because we watch these guys play 10 or 12 broadcasts a year, so we start to think, okay, here's why they won't win instead of why they should win. You just start kind of nitpicking a little bit, but maybe, for instance, now I'll just use them as an example, but Tinley's been there, they've won it, we know they have Eric Hunter, but we don't know much else. Is it sometimes hard to think about winning a ball game just because you know so much about the team close to you?
I think, and maybe this year has been different just because I've seen how much they've grown, and maybe because, like I said, as seeing your mom, it's you know, it's going to be over, yeah. So all you do is focus on the positive. So I think we just bring such a different aspect to the game because all our boys offer so many different things. And I think that's hard sometimes for other teams to figure you out. When you got one who does this excellent and you have two others who are going to step up and then, oh, wait, who's that guy off the bench? Like, I think that's hard for other teams to deal with. But I mostly this year, I find myself more this year than probably years past, have just seen all the good. And if they are all on, look out. Mm-hmm. Just look out.
I'd like to echo that. I think the starting five and the guys on the bench on this team have blended now so well, and it's just some of the best that we've seen in a long time. You can't take away one player because two or three others can get you in equal ways as anybody that you can take away. So that's been the fun thing to watch for us over the 4 years that this group's kind of been together, 3 years, has been how they've come together. And a lot of that's the coaching staff, a lot of that's the kids, and a lot of that is you as parents just reinforcing things, and that's been fun to watch.
Thank you.
Let's get one more comment in before we break, and we will get Coach McClelland on here just coming up here in just a couple minutes, but one more note before we go.
I just wanted to say, I remember Mr. Landcable coming to me when Logan was a freshman, and looking at the group that we had as sophomores and the group we had as eighth graders and the group we had as seventh graders. And he said, you know, when Hayden and Eli and that group are seniors, there's going to be big things happen that year. And, you know, as the kids kept playing and we got, you know, the eighth graders coming in and then, you know, the seventh graders coming into high school, it was like, you know, I saw it finally all come together. Because sometimes, you know, when they're broken up into middle school and high school, you don't honestly see it all come together until they're all there. And when this season started, I honestly was like, he was right. There's going to be big things happen this year.
And one more game to be played. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Quick break here around top of the hour. We'll talk with head coach Scott McClelland coming up on Giant FM Sports. Have you heard?
Real Sports.
Just a bit longer here, a little past the top of the hour on Giant FM Sports, brought to you by today at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and I guess you're important. If there's a whole media day for you, you must be important now.
Well, I don't know about that, but it sure has been fun. It's a surreal feeling. It really is, and you know, I really enjoyed just hearing the moms talk. I think that you kind of sense when you hear the moms talk how truly remarkable this group of kids is, and they're just a great group of guys. They're truly what a team should be, and you know, it's been a fun experience, and obviously we're working on one more win.
I'm going to tell you something that's impossible to do, but forget about state championship for a moment. The season's ending this Saturday. That's concrete. That's the way it is, win or lose.
It is. And you know, my assistant said that today, and he kind of brought that up to the kids. I haven't really thought of it. I think the biggest thing that I've tried to do is try to take the emotion out of it. And for me, and I think by doing that, I help kind of, at least I my mind, I try to help the kids stay, I mean, not emotional. You know, they're such a great group, and they're so grounded anyway, and as you can tell by their parents, that comes natural. I mean, they've been raised right, and they got great families and great moms and dads, but you know, you try to sometimes take some of the emotion out, from that standpoint. And you know, I don't really want to get wrapped up in it being the last week of the season. Obviously, I know it's there, but it's been fun to certainly be, you know, in that being able to play the last week of March. I mean, it's really exciting.
I know there was a business aspect to coaches, ADs, principals getting together before they held the media day that I mentioned, but coaches like getting together and talking basketball, talking the things that surround basketball. What was it like being together with seven other coaches who are going to be in the state championship?
You know, special. I mean, you know, didn't really get a chance to talk to many of them a long period of time, but, you know, just, you know, I do know Ryan Osborne pretty well from Carmel, and Ryan, you know, obviously has been a part of a very successful program, and in his first year as a head coach to take him to the state championship. I had a chance to meet Coach Burris from Southwood. One of his assistants and I were friends from college, so that was a connection. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. You're just lucky and you're fortunate to be in this position and spend your day with, you know, like we were able to do. It is, you know, a great group of guys, very good coaches. I mean, obviously, you know, for what they've done with their teams and to win, I mean, I think sometimes it's hard enough to win one game, let alone to keep advancing. And you know, when you see a guy like Chris Byers, who's undefeated and basically, you know, kind of doing it again, he did it last year. And, you know, Oak Hill had a very successful year last year. Kevin Rimbarger was, IBCA District Coach of the Year last year, and here he is back with the state finals. You know, like I said, Ryan's been involved at Carmel, kind of been Scott Heddy's top guy for several years. And you know, Mark Galloway, I knew Mark. We coached against each other when I was at Brebeuf, and he was at Culver, and he happened to be sitting next to me today. But you know, he's had a really good string of teams too. Took Culver, a Culver team to the state finals, a team that we beat in triple overtime when I was at Brebeuf. So you know, he and I joked about, was that game ever going to end? And but yeah, I mean, you know, to be in that company today was very humbling. I'm certainly honored to be a part of that.
Even though the Morristown season will end with the state championship appearance, you're going to have some more basketball to coach. Matt English of Beech Grove will head up the Junior All-Stars. You're going to join him on that bench.
Yeah, I'm very, very humble. Who all also will be joining our, you know, on the coaching staff. But being able to be around a guy as high quality as Matt and as good a coach as Matt is, he did contact me. We've talked a little bit. You know, he's like, hey, you still need to focus on practice. But, gosh, I can't, you know, that's – you don't get selected for something like that without having a group of kids like I have this year and fortunate to have with Russ, Paul, and Kevin. I mean, they're so good. They just put you in a position that – and the kids, you know, they've just played their – you know, played their hearts out all year, and it's just but you know, that experience will certainly one I'm looking forward to, but it's kind of on the not really thinking about that right now. I'm actually trying to get home so I can start watching some more Southwood. You know, but they're a good team, certainly a team that we feel like we can beat, but you know, it won't be easy. None of these have been easy, and you know, we'll have to do some things to you know, negate some of their scoring and recognize some of their traps and zone defenses and things like that.
I will leave you on this note, the oddball note of the day, if you will. In the state packet that we get, and most of you folks will see it in your program when you go to Bankers Life, there is a head coach profile. Now, there's stuff that a lot of people know, wife, Sonia, children, Anna, how many years you've been at Morristown, coaching record. They may not know, in the early 1980s, and this is Scott McClellan writing this, my grandmother was in a commercial for Hook's Drugstore with Larry Bird.
That is a true story, yeah. Larry Bird was stepping into his early years of fame, and lo and behold, my grandmother was selected to be the older lady in the Hook's Drugstore commercial. And so, you know, at her funeral, people talked about that. '70s and '80s in Indianapolis and lots of different parts, I think, of Indiana. And my grandmother got selected to play a role. And the one regret I have is I have an autograph somewhere, but it's hard telling where that is now. But obviously very neat. I think that was in 1981 or 82, if I'm not mistaken. And kind of an interesting tidbit.
And I'll leave you with this one. We know you're graduated from Yorktown. We've mentioned that several times over the years. I don't remember once you ever mentioning your football career at Yorktown High School.
That is pretty. That's about all you need to say. It's pretty uneventful. You know, I played a little bit more than guard, tackle, and end. You know, they didn't make me sit at the end of the bench, guard the water bucket, or tackle anybody that came near it. But I did play, caught a few passes. It was kind of, you know, if run him across the middle, so if he catches it and a linebacker lights him up, it's no loss to our teams. So, because I certainly wasn't going to outrun anyone.
Go get watching tape. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Scott McClellan with us coming up Saturday on air, 9:30. Tip time, 10:37. Morristown, ranked number 4, Southwood number 3 for the 1A state championship.